This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am. It is my ruling guide.
It is my ruling guide.
To my daily living.
To my daily living.
I will read it.
I will read it.
I will study it.
I will study it.
And I will use it.
And I will use it.
That I might gain wisdom.
That I might gain wisdom.
Through my obedience.
Through my obedience.
To his commands.
To his commands.
Which will lead me.
Which will lead me.
To eternal life.
To eternal life.
With him. Right.
Amen.
This morning we'll be in the book of Hebrews. Be Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we reach up to you this morning in thanksgiving and in praise, Father. Lord, the praise because in your great, infinite wisdom and plan for our life, you sent Jesus Christ, who came and walked this earth and preached about his Father, and who died on the cross for our sins. His blood was shed that we might be cleansed. For that I'm thankful, Father. We have a risen Savior who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would help me with this lesson that you've given, Father, that I might deliver it in the manner in which you delivered it unto me. I thank you, Lord. I ask for your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One of the things that we are taught through the Word of God is, number one, there is only one God. Number two, there's one church. Number three, there's one door. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's a lot of ones in the Bible. We have one representative on earth. That's the Holy Spirit. We have one representative that calls us out when we do something wrong. That's the Holy Spirit. We were born of the Spirit. The Bible says that we are together. We are all men created by one blood. It's all the same blood that Jesus shed on the cross for us. We were baptized into the body of Christ. We were led, or we are led, by the Spirit. We're assured by the Spirit. We are indwelt by the Spirit. And we are sealed by the Spirit. So there is one God, one church, one door. For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, Dr. Howard Lowry once said that when one speaks on a significant occasion, he should say the best thing that he knows. You agree with that? If you're going to make a speech to someone, you make a speech about something you know. Now, at the Unshackled Soldiers for Christ are having their first annual, I don't remember what they called it.
Appreciation.
Yeah, the first annual appreciation dinner for those who have given. And I've been asked to bring the sermon at the first meeting.
Amen.
And What can I talk about? It has to be something that I know best. So that's what I would speak to you this morning on, is something that I know best. And that's exactly what the author of Hebrews was doing all through the epistle of Hebrews. You know, the Hebrew Christians, after years of unrelenting persecution, were beginning to focus on some of the church's good things that was going on in the church. We had that revival. We had good attendance every night.
Amen.
We had good preaching every night.
Amen.
We felt the Holy Spirit every night.
Amen.
And I got tickled at one of the things that Brother Brian said. He said, if anybody comes up and asks you how the revival went, he said, we had a full house every night. Y'all remember him saying that?
Yeah.
We had a full house every night. This morning we have a full house. I don't know if we have anybody else come in the door. I don't know if they find a place to sit. We're here, but the Holy Spirit's here too.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit fills the church. So we have a full house. So we tend to look at the things that are going on with the church at the expense of looking at the best thing about the church. See, some of the Hebrews were wanting to follow the angels. You know, angels do God's bidding. They deliver messages and they watch over the children. Angels are good things, but they're not the best thing. So this morning I'm going to give you 7 points. Seven, Tommy. 7 points. The first point is, it is best to follow Jesus. Y'all agree with that? It's best to follow Jesus. You know, some of these Hebrews were wanting to cling to their religious heritage. I get tickled at that, because where I pastored before, every time I would change something, it was, we've never done it that way before. Why do we need to do it now? Everything's working now. We have a good country club setting on Sunday morning. We talk about everything that went on during the week except for what Jesus did. But that's the way we've always done it. So they were focusing more on the way they had always done things and their founding fathers of that particular church, instead of looking at what the Bible says that we should be doing. So they were looking in the wrong place. And I think that's one of the things that that I got in Brother Brian's messages are, I'm not looking to you as a blessing for me here on Sunday morning. I'm looking to you as the blessing that you're here to receive from God on Sunday morning. It's not me. If anybody came here to see me, they'd be sorely disappointed. Because, you know, there are things that we do that are the old ways instead of the things that we do that we know we should be doing. You know, the founders of the faith at that time was Moses, Joshua, and Aaron. And as the Bible reminds us, the word of Christ is greater than the law of Moses. The word of Christ is greater than any law that Moses laid down. Jesus Christ is more important to the church than what you used to do as a church. It's what you're going to do from this point forward that counts. And the Hebrews were not looking at it that way. They were looking at it, well, our founding fathers had this church set up to do it this way. I don't care what the founding fathers had. We're going to do what God says to do. We're going to do things the way Jesus leads them to do us, or to do. Because it's more important that we follow the direction of Jesus than it is from our founding fathers of the church, of this particular church. God's promised land is greater than the one that Joshua led, the one to where Joshua led Israel. The promised land that we have coming is greater than anything that any of us have ever seen on this earth. Pam and I were talking in Sunday school this morning about how she said, what's it going to be like? Where are we going to be when we go to live with Jesus? Or is he creating a new place? I said, yeah, you could say that. Revelation tells us that this earth as we know it right now will burn. But God will replenish this earth. So what are we going to have here? The Bible doesn't really come right out and say, oh, we're going to have this and that and this. I think it's going to be just exactly like the garden was. I think everything that we need is going to be there. It's greater than anything that Joshua led his people to accept. There's not going to be any war where we're going, but there was where Joshua led the people. There's not going to be any famine where we're going, as there was during that time. There's not going to be a sickness where we're going that there is here. So we have a lot to look forward to. And Jesus' priesthood is superior to Aaron's. Aaron, his priesthood was based upon what he had learned from Moses. But Jesus' priesthood comes direct from God. So would you rather be following a man or following God? That's what the answer is. Who would you rather follow, man or God? I'm not a leader. I may be the pastor of the church, but I'm not any different than anybody else here.
Amen.
I have the same disappointments everybody does. Right. It's how you deal with it that counts. So I would rather have Jesus' priesthood than anyone else I know. These were all good men that taught. These were all good men that brought, that did what God told them to do. But they're not the best. So here's point number two. It's best to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Some were looking to religious institutions, to the temple and its rituals. And when this speaks about the temple, it's talking about the Jewish temple. That the temple and the rituals of the temple are not what matters. It's who we worship, who we follow, who we try to imitate. That's what's important. We're all different. It's like when I was working and supervising six other people. You know, here's what the problem is, and here's the answer. I don't care if you go this way or this way or this way, as long as we arrive at the same answer. It's best to follow Jesus. He is the one who leads us and instructs us on what to do and how to do it. The Bible reminds us that the earthly temple is but a shadow of a greater one in heaven. Its sacrifices are just an illustration of and preparation for the far greater sacrifice of Jesus Christ himself. So when Jesus came and he came to this earth and he lived as a man and he walked and he talked and he preached and he healed and he brought people back to life, It was greater preaching and greater illustration of God for the things that he did. And because we follow him does not mean that I can come down and touch someone and heal them. I can't do that. But I can sure come down and touch somebody and pray for them. That God will heal them. As long as that prayer is asked in his will. Because it may not be in his plan to heal someone that I'm talking to, but his plan is greater than the plan of Moses. It's greater than the plan of Joshua. And it's greater than the plan of Aaron. Jesus Christ was our sacrifice. But all of these things are good things, but they're not the best thing. So what is the best thing? Point number three. I had to count the fingers. Point number three. It's best to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
No matter what the situation is, it's always best. You know, some of the people in the Hebrew time were turning to theology. And I got to tell you, if God wants you to surrender to preach, he's going to provide for you.
Right.
If he asks you to forsake all other things and preach the word, he's going to give you the word that he wants you to preach. Theology classes are good. Degrees in theology are in Old Testament studies, are in New Testament studies, are in the Greek or in the Hebrew. They're good. But it's kind of like the pastor of the First United Pentecostal Church overall deal, whatever they call it. Sort of like the Southern Baptist Convention on this for the United Pentecostal Church, was having a debate with, okay, I've got a member blank this morning. Criswell. Dr. Criswell. And so they asked the men to come up and introduce himself. And I always like to hear Brother Criswell because he walked so humble. And he turned around and looked at you with a whole total face of humbleness. My name is Dr. Criswell, and I have a doctor's degree in Old Testament studies and a doctorate in New Testament studies, and I have a doctorate degree in witnessing and ministerial witnessing, and I have a master's degree and so and so. He named off about six things, and then he went and sat down, and they called on the man from the United Pentecostal Church come up and introduce himself, and I'll introduce myself like he did himself. My name is Ken Hackney, and I'm the pastor at Good Hope Baptist Church, and I don't have a lot of them things after my name like Dr. Criswell, but it's kind of like the tail on a pig. It's there, but it don't add much to the pig. And what I'm trying to say is those degrees are all good, but those degrees don't make you a preacher.
Right, right.
Those degrees don't make you a pastor. It's what's in here that comes from up there that makes you a preacher or a pastor.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And that's where we have to look. It's not the things that we've set up. It's the things that God sets up.
That's right. Amen.
And he sent Jesus to us. You know, they sought to define themselves, to identify themselves with what the author calls elemental truths of faith. In Hebrews, it says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying against the foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment." The writer suggests that as good as this is, they needed to be going on to other things. They need to go on to other things. It's not the schooling that makes the preacher preach. It's not the schooling that makes a pastor pastor. It's not schooling that makes an evangelist. It's what God puts in here that does that. And it's the same with all of us. If you want to be a soul winner for Christ, it needs to be right here,
Amen.
Not right here.
That's right.
If you want to be a tool for God to use, you have to open this up to Him.
Yes, sir.
And let Him have His way with you. But you know, this list that I read, the things that I read about, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. If you want to follow Jesus, that's a good thing. But it's not the best thing. Point number four. It is good to follow Jesus. It is good to follow Jesus. That's our example here on this earth. To walk as He walked. Talk as He talked. Teach as He teach. As He teach. Well, ain't that good? As He taught. It's good that we follow Jesus.
Amen.
Because that's where the answer is. That's where the sacrifice was given. That's where you were covered with the blood of Christ. And that's where you'll be with Him and you'll end up in eternity with Jesus sitting at the right hand of God.
Amen.
The modern church still needs to be reminded a lot of times of its best thing. Because a lot of times the church loses focus. That's why I preach this sermon, I think, brought it after the revival. It's because the revival reminded us of what we needed to be doing. So the church today still has a desire for focusing on its good things at the expense of its best thing. Oh yeah, come to Good Hope. We have such a loving family. Is that true?
Amen.
We have such a good time when we have birthday celebrations. Is that true?
Yes.
Amen.
We have such a good time when we have our first Sunday evening meeting.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, we want you to come and be included in our family. But did you hear me say anything about Jesus Christ?
No.
We want you to come because Jesus is here.
Amen.
We want you to come because Jesus has a message for your heart. That's why we should come. Just to hear the message that God lays on the speaker's heart for that day.
Yeah.
We focus more sometimes on the preacher of the word. Excuse me. We focus more on the preacher than on the living word sometimes. The religious rites and ceremonies more than the Savior. The process of worship more than the person is to be the person that is to be worshipped. And as Brother Brian said in his revival, sir, we need more of God.
Right.
We need more of God right here. Yeah, I'm glad He's here, but I want Him right here.
Amen.
I want Him leading me. I want Him leading y'all. Why? That's the bond that keeps us together.
Right.
Is the bond of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Sure.
So we want that bond. We need more of God. Loyalty that belongs to Christ sometimes is pledged to the ministers by the church. I'd rather you be loyal to God than to be loyal to me. It's not about me.
That's right.
It's about what God's going to do.
That's right. Amen.
It's about what Jesus did.
Oh, yes,
sir. It's about where we're going to go. But it's not about me. Trust that should be placed in Christ is instead placed in theological systems which seek to define Him. I don't want somebody telling me Now, if I'm a new Christian, yes, I would want somebody to tell me about Jesus Christ. But I should want to pick up that book and read it and learn about Jesus Christ myself.
Amen.
Than just depend upon what man says.
That's right.
Like I've told all of y'all before, there's nothing that makes me right about anything I say. Now, why would I say something like that? Because it's what the Word means to you that counts. It's how the Word speaks to you that counts. Yeah, I stand up here and I bring you a message every week. But it's not about Ken Hackney. It's about Jesus Christ. And what he did for each one of us at the cross. Perhaps it's time that we took all of the good things of Christianity and laid them humbly and submissively at the feet of the best thing. Point number 5. It's best to follow Jesus. Jesus is still the church's best thing. History validates the greatness of Jesus. This is a book of history. Jesus Christ is even spoke of in the Old Testament.
That's right.
This is a book of history. But it's also a book of teaching you the way of Jesus Christ. It's a book that will save you if you put your trust in Jesus. It's a book of learning. It's a book of love. It's a book of dedication. True greatness belongs to Jesus Christ, not to the weak pretenders that we sometimes make as our idols. And I don't get into politics, but I use politicians' names every once in a while. What should you rather follow? Jesus Christ or President Biden? I'd go with Jesus.
Amen.
Who would you rather follow? Jesus Christ or Donald Trump? I'm going with Jesus.
Amen.
Who would you rather follow than Ken Hackney? You better say Jesus.
Amen.
That's the whole thing. That's it in a nutshell. It doesn't have anything to do with you or me. It has to do with what you and I do with our life. It's important that we remember that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. Our God is a living God. We need more of God and of Jesus Christ. Sports legends, entertainers, politicians, got ahead of myself, didn't I? Popular religionists, none of them can compare with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He alone is without peer. There's no one that's ever been equal to where Jesus Christ is.
That's right.
God created him, spoke him into existence. And he created and spoke into existence the Holy Spirit. But there's no one in this world that's ever compared to Jesus Christ. Do you often wonder who the Antichrist is going to be? I never will forget when I was pastor at Chapel of the Lake. And, you know, I learned real fast, one of the things that you never preach on is politicians. So I had my associate pastor handling the service one Sunday because I never heard him preach. Let me get down from up here. Do you know what he said from the pulpit? That Hillary Clinton is the Antichrist. I had phone calls all afternoon. I don't know who the Antichrist is going to be, but I can tell you one thing for sure. It's best to follow Jesus.
Amen.
That's where we need to keep our eyes focused on, is on Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on what he did at the cross. Brother Carl? If God looked down on you right now, what would he say? What would Jesus tell God if God's looking down on you right now?
Well, I hope he'd say, I was the God of the heavens.
What would he say, Miss Joe?
Faithful servant, I can't.
Okay. Gary, what would God say if he looked down on you right now?
I guess he'd say, that's a spirit.
I know each and every one of you in a way that I feel is personal, because I feel like if God looked down upon you this morning, the first thing he'd say is, that person is saved.
Amen.
He's covered by the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
And if you're covered by the blood of Jesus, God sees you as being perfect.
Amen.
I've tried to explain that to Belinda, but she still don't see me as perfect. That's because I'm not. But God sees us as being perfect because we're covered with the blood of Jesus. Now that's special. That's special. And I don't know of any politician. I don't know who the Antichrist is going to be. But I do know that if they're standing by the side of me at the white throne judgment and God looks down on me, he's not going to see a person that's living for Jesus. Not if I've got them by my side to be my attorney of fact, so to speak. That's not going to work. Because if you're going to stand there at the white throne judgment and you're going to be judged as saved, go over here with my son, your heart's got to be in the right place. It's best to follow Jesus. Jesus is more than just the greatest man God ever created. So much more. He is the very Son of God. He walked this earth. He is in every way the incomparable Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Only Jesus can save us. Mere mortals cannot save us. I can't save you. No matter how powerful, influential, noble, or kind that person is, he cannot save you. There's one way, and that's through Jesus. Churches cannot save us, no matter how correct their doctrine or their fervent zeal to preach the gospel. The cross alone cannot save you, no matter how brutal and unjust the act that was brought upon it, or how undeserving the victim. The cross saves because who was on it. The cross saves because of who died on it. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Point number 6. It's best to follow Jesus. There are a good many things about the church, and there are many good things about the church. But if you're looking for the greatest thing, the most glorious thing, the best thing, then I would point you to Jesus. Jesus is the best thing I know. So my 7th point, it's best to follow Jesus. It's what we need to do. And I made 7 points out of that because I wanted to drum into your head, it's best to follow Jesus. Don't follow me. Don't follow Donald. Follow Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the one who died for us on the cross. Let's all stand. So this morning, if you feel the need to come to the front for prayer, come to the front to be touched by the Lord, come to the front for whatever reason, I'll be here to receive you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.